This is Tina Douglas, and you're listening to the Liam Photography Podcast with your host, my husband, Liam Douglas. Enjoy!
Greetings, everybody. You're listening to the Liam Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Douglas, and this is episode 398. Today, Kodak chemicals and new products from DJI. European analog photographers have cause for celebration today. Kodak professional photo chemicals will once again be available to purchase throughout Europe. The rebranded Kodak Professional Photo Chemicals will only be available for purchase in Europe. The chemicals will be distributed by Duple, a United Kingdom-based provider of fine art and photographic print equipment, selected as the official European distributor for Kodak Professional Photo Chemicals. As of now, Duple is the only place to purchase Kodak chemicals, but it says it is partnering with other distributors to make products available to photo stores and professionals all across Europe. While black and white chemistry is the only option for now, Duple says that Kodak color negative and E6 chemistry will be released later this year, so color photographers have something to look forward to as well. There's no word yet on if or when these might make their way to the U.S., but hopefully that is also part of the new plan. The good news for European film photographers follows similar news that arrived for Americans last November. This last fall, Michigan-based Photo Systems announced it was bringing Kodak photochemicals back into production. This announcement came after Sinopromise, the Chinese holding company that previously held the license, left the photochemical business last April. Photo Systems specializes in legacy processes, so it makes sense that it would take over the production of these chemicals. At the time of last fall's announcement, Photo Systems said that it hoped to begin shipping products in the first quarter of 2024. We are just barely beyond that, so things should be moving along. It's unclear if the new announcement concerning European distribution is related to Photo Systems' news last year. Photo Systems also said that they would start with black and white chemistry, which is indeed what has happened in Europe. The newly released chemistry uses the same formulas as the original chemicals, but with a new look. The first chemicals to be available are some of Kodak's most popular black and white offerings, including X-Tol, X-Max, and D76. Users will also be able to purchase Rapid Selenium Toner, PhotoFlow HC110 Developer Hypo-Clearing Agent Powder, Dectol Paper Development Powder, and Kodak's Stop Bath Concentrate. Essentially, anything a film photographer might need to develop and print photos will be available for purchase. So that's definitely some exciting news for our photography friends in Europe. DJI has updated its extremely popular RS4 and RS4 Pro gimbals. These relatively compact gimbals are heavily inspired by their predecessors, promising similar payloads, but they feature improved usability and performance, including expanded vertical shooting capabilities. Arguably, the most significant new feature in the RS4 and the RS4 Pro is second-generation native vertical shooting. Vertical video is a big deal in the age of social media and content creation, with some people shooting almost exclusively in vertical formats. The newly designed gimbal horizontal plate means RS users will no longer need additional accessories and can quickly swap from landscape to portrait orientation in a snap. The RS4 and RS4 Pro have the same payload capabilities as their predecessors, 3 kilograms or 6.6 pounds, and 4.5 kilograms, which is 10 pounds respectively. That said, DJI says the RS Pro's motor offers 20% more motor torque across three axes, promising greater power redundancy once balanced, which ensures more responsive and accurate performance. Another similarity is the OLED touchscreen. Although it now sports an auto lock feature preventing accidental touches during shooting, in fact, it would be tough for most users to tell the RS3 and 4 series gimbals apart on appearance alone. However, there are many refinements beyond what has already been mentioned. A new car mount mode optimizes the gimbal stabilization algorithm based on vehicle vibrations and wind resistance data. The overall stabilization algorithm has been optimized for different usage scenarios, promising improved stability and user experience, especially during fast-paced dynamic movements. The RS4 can also work with DJI's new Focus Pro LiDAR and Focus Pro motor attachments, enabling solo shooters to achieve more accurate and intelligent autofocus performance from their cameras up to 20 meters away. Users can also use the next-gen ActiveTrack Pro with these accessories, which promises high-end subject tracking performance. The RS4 Pro supports two focus motors, which can control focus, zoom, or aperture. There have been minor tweaks to materials for the RS4 compared to the RS3, while the RS4 Pro, like its predecessor, is made of carbon fiber. The standard RS4 now opts for an aluminum chassis with Teflon coating. This results in nearly a pound more weight and a tweaked tilt axis. The DJI RS4 and RS Pro are available starting today. The RS4 starts at $549 US and the RS Pro is $869 US. There are also combos, including the Focus Pro motor with the RS4 combo, retailing for $719 US, and the RS4 Pro combo priced at $1,099 US. San Francisco trains still operating on floppy disks. In 1998, San Francisco installed the latest cutting-edge technology to run their train network, floppy disks. A quarter of a century later, and the city's transportation agency is still using the exact same system. People under the age of 30 might not know what a floppy disk is in an archaic way of storing data, think USB stick, but the workers at San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, SFMTA, sure do, as they are still using obsolete tech to automate the movement of light rail vehicles. Quote, "We are the first agency in the U.S. to adopt this particular technology, but it was from an era when computers didn't have a hard drive, so you have to load the software from floppy disks onto the computer," Mariana McGuire, SFMTA train controller project, tells ABC7. Quote, "It's like if you lose your memory overnight and every morning somebody has to tell you, hey, this is who you are and what your purpose is and what you have to do," adds McGuire. SFMTA uses 5-inch floppy disks to automatically control trains inside the subway. Quote, "With each increasing year, risk of data degradation on the floppy disks increases, and at some point there will be a catastrophic failure," says Director Jeffrey Tumlin. The pre-millennium apparatus was designed to last 20 to 25 years, so replacing the disks is a pressing matter. Kate Gullion, a passenger, tells ABC7, quote, "I thought we were moving onto AI, so why are we doing floppy disks?" The new system will hopefully improve the reliability of train control, and the team will be able to track the movements of trains far more easily. However, the upgrade will cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and the project is yet to be finalized. Quote, "We are hoping that a large component of this will come from state and federal grants. The rest of it will come from our rapidly declining internal capital resources," adds Tumlin. It's not just computers that used to take floppy disks. Cameras also used to write data onto them, including the classic Sony Mavica FD7. Last year, a Formula One racing fan attending the Miami Grand Prix was told at the gate that he couldn't bring in his mirrorless camera, so he came up with an unusual alternate plan. He instead decided to shoot the race with a floppy disk camera made in 2000. And I still have one of those old Sony Mavica cameras myself, and it still works, but mine uses the 3.5-inch floppies. So this past Monday was the solar eclipse that was visible across much of the United States from Dallas, Texas to Buffalo, New York. This is the first time we've had an eclipse like this in a considerable amount of time, and the next one will not be for another 25 years, and most likely won't follow the same path, so we here in the States will probably be left out. Now, Tina and I are in New York State visiting with family now, and our grandsons were sent home from school early and given free eclipse glasses for viewing the eclipse, but they didn't have any luck. The cloud cover over Elmira, New York was so thick it was impossible to view it at all. Had their dad and I known ahead of time, we could have taken them up the road to Watkins Glen, New York, where the eclipse was visible. Luckily, a lot of other people here in the States were able to view it, and some were even able to capture it on their cameras using the proper filters, of course, so they didn't burn out their camera sensors. I didn't worry about it myself, as I was busy working and didn't have the time or desire to chase it around, as I've seen eclipses before, so it's not that big a deal to me, but it would have been fun to see the excitement on the faces of my grandkids when they checked it out for their very first time. Now, in addition to all the other stuff going on while we're in New York, I got our youngest granddaughter a Power Wheel-style Lamborghini Veneo Roadster. Her dad and I assembled it Monday night to surprise her Tuesday morning, and she was really excited when she came downstairs and found it sitting in the living room waiting for her. She loves that it has working doors and a built-in stereo, which basically allows you to connect your smartphone and play music through the car, and it even has a number of built-in songs. The cool thing is the car also has parental override remote control, so they don't hurt themselves until they get the hang of driving it. Now, I'm also filming my next YouTube video on the Brevity Jumper Photo Backpack this week, which has quickly become my EDC backpack for when I want to go out and shoot all day while hiking and not end up carrying too much gear and exhausting myself or causing more back problems. And if you're not already, please make sure you subscribe to my channel and turn on all notifications so you don't miss this or any of my future videos. Remember to check out the Liam Photography Podcast Facebook group. It is a private group, and you must answer a security question to join, which is the name of the host of the show, myself, Liam. And I've also opened it up to allow you to give the name of a previous guest on the show to show that you are a listener. Once you're in the group, you are free to post your own original work. I'm also the admin of the Fujifilm GFX 50R group, which is the largest group for the 50R on Facebook. If you own or plan to own the 50R, you can request to join that group, but you do have to answer two security questions to join that group. You can find my work at liamphotography.net and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at liamphotoATL. If you like abandoned buildings and history, you can find my projects at forgottenpiecesofgeorgia.com and forgottenpiecesofpennsylvania.com. All right, that's going to wrap up episode 398 of the Liam Photography Podcast for Thursday, April 11th, 2024. I want to thank all of my listeners once again for subscribing, rating, and reviewing in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you might be getting your podcast. If you're not currently a listener, why not? It doesn't cost you anything but a second of your time to subscribe to the show and download the episodes to listen to, and I have a massive catalog of back episodes that you can listen to at your leisure. Also, remember to stop by the YouTube channel, which is Liam Photography on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, turn on all notifications so you don't miss any of my upcoming content, and I will see you all again next Thursday. I'm going to go to the next one.